Should have been that address, be Karen. There we go. Open your Bibles to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4. Page 557 in my Bible. That'll help you. My jokes aren't going along too good this week. Huh? What's going on? Thought that was funny. Start reading in verse 1. It says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, and he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn the reproach upon their own head and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity. And let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, Strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. And there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, From all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, and I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up, and unto the nobles, and unto the rulers, and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, and they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that laded, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, The work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, Let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put our clothes off, saving that every one put them off for washing." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this night, this time we come together. Father, I just ask that you help me tonight, Lord. I want to say exactly what you want me to say, and Lord, I just pray that you help us tonight, that we might go away tonight, Lord, with a thought, Lord, with something that you want us to do, Lord. I just pray that you just encourage your church. I pray, Lord, that you give us joy, that you give us a peace, Lord. We want to go out in peace, Lord. Father, I also pray that you bless this week, the rest of this week, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I was thinking about this this message that I wanted to come with you tonight, I was thinking, you know, this is an excellent book. If you haven't read Nehemiah, it's really is interesting how the work and the passion he had to build up the wall and he wanted to do it for God. And I mean, there's many things we could probably talk about here, but the thing that struck me and the reason why I wanted to talk about this chapter is because a lot of people were saying some bad things about the work, you know. And you know, I started thinking about, you know, lots of times we hear a lot of voices, don't we? You know, we wrestle, you know, and I debated whether to use this word or not because I don't want to offend anybody, but we wrestle against schizophrenia, hearing lots of voices from every side. You know, I don't want to, I mean, I'm not a doctor, you know, but I mean, I guess I could have if it wasn't for 8 years of college and all that science, I probably would have been a doctor. But you know, the voices, we do hear lots of voices, lots of things going on. You know, I think about Paul, you know, and you could see people in the Bible that they definitely heard voices. I mean, God talking to them and other people talking to them. You know, I think about that part over there in Acts in chapter 18 where Paul was in Corinth. And he's there and he's working and he has some good friends around him. They're making tents. And all of a sudden, it's interesting because God comes to him in a vision. Right after, you know, he's there and God comes to him in a vision and he says, "Be not afraid." He says, "Speak." You know, don't hold back, Paul. You know, and to me, it just implies, when I read that, obviously Paul must have been having he was listening to some voices. I think it implies that maybe he was a little scared. Maybe he was thinking, you know what? Maybe I ought to just tone it down a little bit. Maybe I just ought to choose my words a little bit better. And it says over there in Acts, I said Acts 18. I'll just read it for you because I like the way it says Acts 18. In verse 9, it says, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak. Hold not thy peace." Amen. You know, and then we know he got up and for a year and 6 months, he was preaching. He was there persuade. He persuaded. I think that's what it said. He persuaded, the Jews. He had some fruit. He was doing, he was writing the will of God. But you know, he had a choice, I think, which voice was he going to listen to? Yeah. And I think in our Christian walk, I think that's exactly what we need to understand. There's voices. You know, like I said, I'm not a doctor. But I thought it would have been pretty cool to be a doctor. I remember one time Karen got sick. And she had a little abscess on her side, and we went to the doctor, to her woman doctor. I don't know what they call them, but anyways, we went to her woman doctor, and so he's talking to us, and he's saying, "Well, she has an abscess, and it's probably nothing, but we need to take care of it." And I said, "Okay, so what? How are we going to take care of this?" "Well, we got to take it out. Maybe do a biopsy, you know, check it out." And I said, "Okay." So he set up the surgery and he set it up in a hospital. And, so we went in there and of course, before we went, I asked the doctor, I said, "Do you think I can go in the operation room with you?" I mean, all he could say is no, right?
Right.
And he said, "Sure." I said, "All right, this is cool." So anyways, I go in there and I get scrubbed. I get scrubbed in, you know, I got my little booties. I got my little outfit. I'm thinking, man, I'm a doctor today. We go in there, and my wife is out cold. The anesthesiologist is there. She's out cold, and he starts removing or looking at that abscess. And then he has a problem. And he turns around to me, and he says, "You know what? It's not an abscess. I was wrong." And I said, "Well, what is it, doc?" And he says, "Well, it's a hernia." He goes, "We can either stop now, but you're going to have to pay for everything all over again, or we can go ahead and take it out." And I said, you know? So he goes, "But it's going to cost you a little bit more money." And I said, And I said, "Will I still be able to stay in here?" And he goes, "Yeah, cut her open, doc." So I have had some hands-on training. You know, we hear voices, and Nehemiah, when he was there, he heard some voices. He heard people telling him and talking to him about the work. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to continue. You know, we hear voices about voices that tell us that we're going to fail. You know, that's why people stop serving the Lord.
Yeah, that's right.
They start listening to those voices.
That's right.
You know, God didn't save you thinking that you were going to be perfect in everything you do. I like that verse over there in Philippians in chapter 1 where it says that He's going to perfect us.
Yeah.
All the way to the day of Christ. You're not going to be perfect in this life. I mean, one day when we see Him face to face, we will be perfect. But you know, we do listen to those voices of failure. And over there in verse 3, it says, "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.'" You know, he's being a little sarcastic there.
Yeah.
You know, a fox walking up on the wall and it's going to fall down? Well, you know, people can be real sarcastic.
Yeah.
They really can. You know, we're not the biggest church in San Antonio.
That's right.
And that can be a little sarcastic. Even down there in Puebla. I mean, we got nobody. Just Karen and I and Stephen and Adi. And I know God's going to start a church there because He's faithful.
Yep.
I mean, He's done it time and time and time again.
Amen.
But you know, it gets pretty discouraging when somebody says, "How many people you got meeting over there in that park of yours?" "Well, we got 5 people. I forgot my daughter, right?" "We got 5 people meeting over there."
"Yep."
"Oh, your church is very... look at our church. Look at our cathedral." Yeah. That's true. But my church, we meet in the open air. We meet in the park. My church has the highest ceiling in the city. They can't brag about that.
Yeah, that's right.
They might have pretty buildings, but I got the highest ceiling in the whole city of Puebla.
Amen.
You know, the voices of revival. You're not going to get revived this week. Why are you going? You're not going to change. It's just too hard. You just give it up. Hear those voices? But you know, God promised revival.
That's right. That's right.
He promised revival. You know, God's not a liar. I love that verse over there in Titus where it says that God cannot lie. I mean,
Amen.
That's just incredible. I mean, you got to believe it. That's exactly what it says. He cannot lie. Like, I cannot fly. I can't fly. There's just some things that just ain't going to happen. God cannot lie.
Amen.
And if He says, "I will and I can revive you," then you got to believe it.
Amen.
The problem is, and like I mentioned before, it's not going to happen just sitting. It's not going to happen just saying, "Okay, I'm in all my filth and all my problems and all this stuff that's just cluttered around me, and God revive me."
Yes.
Well, you know, God needs you to remove some of that stuff. You got to do it. You know, there's some things that we just have to do ourselves.
That's right. Amen.
Isn't it? Have you ever thought about that verse over there in John in chapter 11 where Lazarus dies? And he's been dead 4 days. And Jesus shows up. And he says, take away the stone. Yeah. Have you thought about that? Why did he tell them to do it? Yeah. I mean, we're talking about God. We're talking about somebody who spoke the heavens into existence. Yeah, right. He could have just told that rock, get out of the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to call out Lazarus. I just need you to move out of the way. But he didn't do that. He told the people, you know what? I'm going to raise Lazarus. You're going to see something awesome, but you got to do something.
That's right.
You got to move that rock.
Amen.
We're hearing voices. Voices of failure. Yeah. You know, I thought about today about our churches down there in Mexico. 20-something churches down there in Mexico who are meeting. Tonight, most of our churches are meeting right now at this time, worshiping God. And another part are going to be worshiping God tomorrow on Thursdays. But they're all going to be worshiping God. And we're talking about churches that from the very beginning, how did they even know, Brother Lindo, whoever was here at the very beginning, 30-something years ago, how are they going to do this? I mean, we're just setting ourselves up to fail. How are we going to support these missionaries?
That's right.
And then they show up and they're learning stuff and they're trying to figure some out. And then they're in San Luis, and then they jump over to León and they say, okay, we're going to start something different. We're not going to be showing films no more. Because back then they were showing films and talking to the people, and great, people got saved. Excellent, way to go. But you know what? Somebody said, God chose the foolishness of preaching
That's right.
To save those.
Amen.
And there was people saying, it ain't going to work. They're gonna hurt you. They're going to lynch you. This ain't going to happen. And it did look that way. I think in León they had a pretty hard time. And then they got together after a while and they fasted and they prayed. And God opened this thing up. Yeah, we hear voices of failure. The missionaries out in Poland. You know, our missionaries in Poland, they teach English. And they might be people saying, this church can't even support full-time missionaries in Poland. They can't do it. They got to get jobs. Well, you know, I think God is supporting them. He's given them enough wisdom to teach English.
Yep.
Isn't that supporting?
Yeah, amen.
He hasn't abandoned them. They've been there for quite a while. Sure, we would like them to be full time.
Yep.
We would like for them to not have to work to supply maybe some things that they need.
Yes.
But look how great and how faithful our God is. You don't think that they've been hearing voices of failure? Have you heard the language of Polish language? I mean, come on. I'm not convinced it's a language. It's incredible. But they've learned it. I mean, Joey speaks English, Spanish, Polish. That's just incredible. Voices of failure? Yeah, we hear them. They also say, well, you know, you guys can't preach the way you preach. You're too hard.
Yeah.
You ain't going to get too far preaching the way you're preaching. I don't know how many times people have come up to me when I'm preaching out in the streets downtown and they say, you can't be so direct.
Yeah.
You're just preaching too hard. You can't tell people that they're idolaters. You can't tell people that they're fornicators. You can't tell people that it's not right to live in adulterous relationship. You can't tell them that. And then some even say, I mean, Jesus wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Oh. Ye serpents, I think I remember him saying.
Yeah.
Hypocrites. Didn't he say that?
Yeah,
he
did. That's right. That's right.
No, Jesus preached pretty hard.
Yeah, he did. That's right. Amen.
You know, if we look at this and look at the great job that they did there in Nehemiah, and he's in the times of Nehemiah, and they're working and they're hearing these voices. If they would have listened to that, that wall would have never gotten built.
That's right. Amen.
If you sit there and listen to your own thoughts, to your own voices that say you can't get revived, we can't do anymore, the Christian life is just too hard, well, you know, you're not going to do anything. And you're going to live miserably. I mean, you know what? They just might have a point. You know, people that say, you know, you're just too small. You're just too hard. You just can't do this. It's just impossible. They just might have a point in everything they say.
Yeah.
But you know what I know? With men, it's impossible.
Yeah, that's right.
But with God, there isn't anything impossible. God can do anything He wants.
Right.
And the fact that we are in a good church, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
I think we are in a good church.
Amen.
But we just need to get revived and quit listening to those voices of failure. You know, I also think about voices of fear. Look what it says over there in verse 8. In verse 8 it says, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. In verse 11, and our adversaries said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. You know, have you ever been threatened? Have you ever had fear? I mean, fear is a real good thing. You know, I don't think any of these guys in the Bible, I don't think anybody who's done anything for God didn't have fear. I mean, going up against hundreds of people and fighting them, and all you have is a jawbone? I mean, come on. You know he had to be. He had to be scared. I mean, jawbones aren't too sharp. But he won.
Yeah.
You know, when we think about fear, I've been scared several times in my life. I mean, really scared. I mean, I've been put in the back of a pickup and taken down to jail for preaching the gospel. That's scary, man.
Yeah, that's right.
You're in back of a truck and you're going down the road and you're thinking, well, this is it. You know? I wish I would have memorized a hymn. You know? I ain't going to be singing too good. I ain't going to be like Paul. You know? I should have brought my songbook. But you know, I've been scared. And they put me in that cell. And they slammed the door. And I just sat there. And there's some ugly people on this side. And uglier people on that side. And, you know, thank God I was in a cell by myself.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they can reach through. And tell you the truth, I was there 5 minutes. I mean, they didn't tell me that. But I wasn't there very long. I guess they kind of figured this guy's an American citizen. Hey, wait a minute. We can't be doing this. And they called me and they just scared me and then we just left. But I didn't know I was just going to be there 5 minutes. It's scary. You know, there in Irapuato, I remember also, and I've told this story before, but going to a colonia where they came out with sticks and stones and, you know, garden tools. And they told us, you come back here tomorrow, we're going to kill you. Yeah, that's pretty scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what verse popped into my head real quick? Shake that those dust off your feet, man. I'm no problem. No problem, man. Hey, that's biblical. I mean, I want to live to fight another day. See, the problem is I had Bill with me. I had Bill with me. And Bill, and I know he was scared. He had to be scared. You know? And Bill says, well, we're going to come back tomorrow. And I said, all right, we're going to come back tomorrow. And that would have been bad enough. But Bill tells him what time we're going to come back tomorrow. But you know what? I'm glad that happened. Nothing happened, by the way. We went back the next day. We preached. They didn't come out. I mean, that's God. They were bold that night. I mean, we had a group there. But nothing happened. We went back. We preached. We finished that place. I mean, nothing ever happened. But you know why I'm glad that happened? Because, see, Bill's not with me anymore. That's when I first went down to Mexico. If Bill would have said, let's get out of here, we're not coming back here, well, then I'd probably be saying that all the time. Mm-hmm. First sign of trouble, I'm out of here. But, you know, I saw how faithful God was. And God's faithful. And it's not a given. I mean, I know any one of us could die.
That's right.
Any one of us.
Right.
I mean, don't we see over there in Acts where Stephen got stoned?
Yes.
And he was a bold preacher. God didn't save his life.
Yep.
And I guarantee you I ain't better than that.
That's right.
You don't have no guarantees. But you know what? We should have that mindset like those three Hebrew boys. And say, you know what? If we die in this furnace, you know, our God can save us.
Yeah.
And if we die in there, He's still God.
Yeah, that's right.
That's our God.
Yeah.
Voices of fear? Yeah, we got them. But you know what? We shouldn't fear. We shouldn't fear to live for God. You know, it's not that bad.
Amen.
To live like a Christian.
Amen.
It really isn't. I mean, I actually have a real good time.
Amen.
Other than spending 5 minutes in jail, everything else is pretty good. I mean, we can look around and all around us and see older Christians, and they look pretty happy.
Yeah.
I bet you they can tell you no regrets.
Amen.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't know, I just love talking with older Christians.
Yeah.
I love talking to Brother Lindell and the stories he has and the different things that God has done in his life. It's just incredible. It gets me excited. You ought to listen to those stories. Take him out. Buy him some bacon. He'll talk. You know, it's just fun. But we do hear those voices. Voices of failure. Voices of fear. God understands. Comes to Paul in chapter 18 and says, fear not, Paul. Fear not. But I don't read in the verses before where Paul was saying, I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared, I don't want to do this. But I think it's implied.
Yeah, that's right.
How about voices of fainting? Tired. Have you ever been tired? Yeah. We've been tired. You know, the answer to failure is faith. We just got to believe God.
Amen.
Look what it says in verse 14. It says, And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them, remember the Lord. The answer to failure is to remember the Lord. The answer to fear, look what it says over there in also in verse 14. It says, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. You know, the answer to fear is fight. The answer to faithfulness is fainting is faithfulness. You got to be faithful. We have to just believe. You know, they just kept working. You read verse 6, verse 21, verse 23. They just kept working. It's faithfulness.
That's right.
You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes we don't think that not being faithful to God and not being faithful to God and serving Him causes too much damage. We think, well, you know what? If I miss every now and again, who cares? No big deal. If I don't come to revival, it's not a problem. If I don't come to serve God and to work for Him outside and to live godly, it's not a problem. Well, you know, it is a problem.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Let me tell you a story about there in Irapuato when I was there. There was a guy there in Irapuato, his name was Guadalupe. And it was Joey's contact. And I went with Joey, and we went there, the same colonia where they came out in sticks. And we went there, and we gave this guy studies, and he was interested. Man, he was just soaking it up. This guy, he didn't even know how to read. He was probably, at that time, he was in his late 20s, maybe 30, didn't know how to read. He was just a construction worker. And we were starting to give him studies, and he had a little boy there, his little boy. So happy, even came to the meeting sometimes. The little boy really liked it. The little boy was happy. He was happy, I think, because Joey and I gave him a lot of attention. You know, hi, how you doing? And I mean, he just bubbly. Well, you know what happened? His wife did not like us giving him the gospel. So much so that she came out and she said, I would rather my husband continue to be a womanizer and a drunkard than to do away with our religion. She actually told us that. And we're trying to reason with her. We're trying to say, look, he just wants to be faithful to God, and he's studying the gospel, and the gospel's gonna change his life. She didn't want to have anything to do with that. Well, you know what? It got too much for him. And he told us, I'm sorry, I'm not going to come back. And we tried to talk to him, and to no avail. Well, you know, a few years back, maybe like 2 years ago, I saw him again in the meeting there in Irapuato. And I was glad to see him. He was pretty beaten up. He looked real tired. He's been just in a bad way. You know what the sad news was? You know what brought him to church? He came home one day, and that little boy, who was liking to hear the Word of God, liking the meetings, he came home, and he hung himself from the rafters. You don't think not being faithful causes problems? You think just falling out of the way is no big deal? It's a big deal. You need to stay with God. We can't be just saying, you know what, I'm just going to back off just a little bit. You can't do it. I mean, what did he say there when he had all those problems in verse 9? He says, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against him day and night.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, Nehemiah, he saw the problem. He saw, he heard the voices. He saw the things that probably could have happened. And he says we have to pray and cry out to God, and we have to set a watch. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but day and night.
That's true.
You know, faithfulness has its rewards. The Bible says over there in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. In due season, we shall reap if we faint not. We're going to reap. You know, there's a method to the success against these voices that we hear, because we all hear them. And you know the crazy thing about it is these same guys who were talking bad about the work gave Nehemiah the method of how to stay with the work. What it says there in verse 2. It says, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? You know, the first thing that we have to do is fortify ourselves. You know how we fortify ourselves? Church.
Amen.
Hearing the Word of God.
Amen.
You don't think the Word of God does something in you? It says in Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. It's going to do exactly what God intended it to do. So if it's going to do exactly what God intends it to do, I think we do read verses over there that says that he's going to give us joy.
Amen.
He's going to make us rejoice. He's going to give us strength. I mean, these are promises. It cannot come back to him void.
That's right.
And the church does that. You know, the church helps us get rid of the rubbish we have in our lives. You know what it also says there in verse 2? It says, will they sacrifice? You know, we need to give.
Yeah, that's right.
Of ourselves. We need to sacrifice some things. We want to continue in the work. We want to prosper in our life and be a solid Christian. And we have to be willing to sacrifice some things. And that just might be some things that are hindering you right now, are weighing you down. But are you willing to do it? You know, he also says there, he says, will they make an end in a day? You know, he's basically saying, are they going to stick around? Are they going to still be there?
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, it's a hard work. Are they really going to go through it? Well, you know, one way to have victory over those voices is we got to stick around. We can't be leaving.
That's right.
I mean, just get that out of your head. I mean, if you're already thinking about leaving, then guess what? You're going to leave.
Yeah.
You're just going to fall out. But if you have it set in your head, you know what? Come what comes, I'm going to stick with God.
Yeah,
then more than likely, you're going to stick with God.
Yeah, amen.
I mean, don't you? Everybody gets tired.
Yes.
Everybody does. You know, it's like that guy in church who was so upset and so bitter and so mad. The people there just made him mad. And he goes home and he tells his wife, I'm done. I'm leaving that church. I'm just done. And his wife said, you can't go. He goes, well, give me just one reason why I can't go. He goes, I'll give you three. First reason, your testimony. What about your testimony? And he says, yeah, I guess you're right. My testimony. She says, I'll give you another reason. The Word of God says that you can't. Oh, yeah, there he goes, bringing that Bible in. Yeah, you're right. You're right. The Word of God does say that. She says, now I'll give you another reason. You're the pastor. Everybody gets tired. Everybody gets tired. Your pastors get tired. But praise God for faithfulness. Praise God for them just sticking around. One more thing. Look what it says. Verse 3. Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? You know, the next thing is reviving the stones out of the rubbish. Man. You know, God has changed some lives here. He really has. And when I think of that, I think of that promise. What's wrong with you, God can fix it. He can pull you out of that rubbish. He can make you new. He can make you happy again. He can make your marriages happy again.
That's true. Amen.
It's all about decision.
Yeah.
You know why people are getting divorced? Because they got an I complex.
Yeah.
It's all about them. I just don't feel. You know? I don't feel like I'm in love with her anymore. Well, you know, join the club. Seriously. You mean to tell me you feel married all the time? No, sometimes things are bad. Sometimes, you know, you start fighting. Sometimes, you know, there's disagreements. But I got a piece of paper that says I'm married. If I doubt it, she can just pull it out and say, look, you signed it. So I can decide to be miserable, or I can say, honey, I'm sorry. You know what? Let's try again tomorrow. Let's make this thing work. We need to stick around. God can make our lives so much better. You know, we need God to help us not to listen to the voices of failure and fear and fainting. Instead, we need God to help us be fortified in the church. Strengthen ourselves. Sacrifice, yeah, we need to get rid of some things and stay. Just stay. You know, there's something said about people just sticking around. Just staying. Just gutting it out. Things do get better.
Yes.
And then the idea of God lifting us up, stones from the rubbish, God can do it. There's lives changed in this room right now. I know God's changed me. I know I'm not the same. Sometimes, every now and again, I remember that old boy a long time ago. And yeah, those thoughts do pop in my head of what and where God found me.
Yeah.
And man, I don't want to go back.
Amen.
I don't want to go back.
Amen.
This is my church.
Amen. Yes.
This is my work. We get tired, yeah, but let's not listen to those voices. Instead, let's listen to God. He tells us, stick around. He tells us, right here, you're going to get strengthened. He's telling us, hey, I can lift you up. I can pull you up. I can make this church better. But all we got to do is decide to let God do it.
That's right.
Amen?